By the way, anything that Elon Musk says or does, I think is nefarious. You have to prove it's guilty until proven innocent. Hey everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Blue Sedition Podcast. I'm your host, Nate Brady, alongside my co-host, Mike Smith.
How y'all doing today? Hope it's going well.
We have a special podcast today. This is our eighth podcast, and as it turns out, people have said they wanted to see our ugly faces. So we're going to do that for you.
Absolutely shocking.
I don't like it. You know what? I have to listen to the podcast. First of all, I do the editing. And just make sure it's all clean. And I just, like many professionals, hate the sound of my own voice. Now, when I do the editing, I have to also watch video, and it's just, I mean, look at me. You wouldn't want to look at me. My head is the reason why I have to wear glasses. Cause just the light, the bounce back, So it's tough. Well, what are you going to do? How was your weekend?
What I always do.
What do you do?
I'm going to text you.
Okay.
After listening to our podcast before it goes out, I'm going to say, "Why do I sound so strange, Nate? Why haven't we fixed how I sound?"
Yeah,
now
I can't.
I can do the same thing. I can text you later and say, "Why do I look like this, Nate?"
Yeah. There's nothing I can do about. I've done everything that I can to fix you, and it just doesn't work.
Instead of the YouTube comments that says, "When are we going to get video?" They can start leaving comments that say, "Why do you guys look like that?"
Yeah. Or, "When are you going to turn the video off?" Because to which I say, you can minimize the player. You still can't. I know it's the year of our Lord 2024. On most phones, you cannot close YouTube and still listen to the audio.
You can.
Oh,
but you have to pay for YouTube Premium.
You do, or there is a way. Actually, I'm not going to say it. I don't want to get demonetized or whatever. We're not even monetized.
You can turn the screen off and listen to it. Good luck to you. That's how you can hide us.
Pay your Google overlords, your Alphabet overlords, and so you can minimize video. How was your weekend, though? What's going on?
It was all right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I don't want to steer too far out of the political sphere here, but
I meant in the political sense. How was your weekend?
Okay.
Yeah.
No, I don't have much to say. It was pretty
quiet.
Quiet by recent history standards.
It's okay.
Relatively quiet.
Yeah, that's fair.
Nobody tried to assassinate anybody. Nobody dropped any bombshell reports saying this, that, the other. Well, when I say anybody, I mean U.S. politics that we focus on.
Yeah, okay. All right, that's fair. There was a rally this weekend. And I think it was Elon Musk's who I want to talk about probably more than anybody wants to hear about him in this episode. But it was Elon Musk's first appearance at maybe any political rally. Maybe somebody can correct me on that. And there he is, here. Yeah, we've got graphics video to share with you here.
Look at this guy. This has to be fake, right? I've never heard of the app. What's AP? I don't know.
I'm not sure what it stands for. Oh.
Why does he look like Billy Corgan?
Wow.
Why does he look like Billy Corgan?
Yeah, I can see that. I can see that a little bit.
I can't not see it.
Are these two of the most... Listen, I got to preface this by saying I'm socially awkward. I think, most people in my circle can be a little socially awkward.
Sure.
But are these the two most socially awkward people that we know, at least in the public sphere?
Maybe RFK beats them both.
Mm.
Maybe. Mm. I mean, he does. He, yeah. I killing bears and stuffing them in his trunk and whatnot.
Using a chainsaw to just decapitate whales. But
but
he's like, get in, guys, let's party. I mean, so I don't know. He feels like maybe he's not as socially awkward. Like, he's just like, you know what? There's a whale head on the car. There's a bear in the trunk. Get in. We're going, you know.
Just an inclusive person.
Yeah, well, I'm not going
to. He's doing his own thing, and he's willing to have people come along with him.
Sure, sure. Let's
what is with this flag on cranes thing?
I don't
9/11 sort of throwback, like they did at the at Ground Zero of the World Trade Centers. Like, they had the flag hanging over the you know, Ground Zero from the cranes. Why are they co-opting that for this Trump rally?
Well, that's what they do. They've co-opted the American flag. I mean, let's be honest, right? Okay. You're driving on the highway, okay?
Right.
A pickup truck pulls in front of you. There is a American flag. There's a holster and a giant American flag out of the back of it. There's no question that's a Republican, right?
I want to say yes, but honestly, I've seen some weird stuff coming out of social media showing off the left trying to outweird them. I've seen some Harris walls. Flags being flown in the back,
sure.
You know, F-250s or whatever.
Sure.
And they're in battleground states. They're in like Michigan or something. And I'm going, let me step back. I like to address the right's seeming childish questioning of why don't we see any, you know, big flags or rally signs or what have you from the left? Why don't we see this? And I want to respond to that with, because God, I can't stand any of you people for more than, you know, 6 months of the campaign season. I don't want a flag in my yard. I don't want to define myself by your campaign. Okay.
That's the truest thing he's ever said. Elon at this rally. Oh my goodness. He called himself Dark MAGA. I don't even know what that was supposed to mean. I have to be fair.
Yeah.
I didn't watch this. I barely listened to clips of him. I heard him say that the Second Amendment is there to protect the First Amendment, which, okay.
And they're both in place to protect voting rights. I read some of what he had said at the rally, and it's regular run of the mill Elon nonsense.
Right.
It's,
right.
And to be clear, I'm not suggesting that the Second Amendment isn't in place there to protect the First or whatever, but he rolls those sorts of simple statements that have on their face like a hint of truth to them,
right,
into statements that are just bald-faced lies.
Right.
Because, you know, they're gonna take away voting next, and I'm like, There's no reality where the Democrats want to take away voting. So I don't see where you get from point A to point B with that line of logic.
Elon Musk's most popular tweets in the last, you know, couple of weeks, maybe months since he's fully endorsed Donald Trump for president, is basically that a vote for Kamala is a vote for the end of America. Like, he doesn't, he's not trying to say that this is hyperbole. He is coming out and saying, you know, unless Donald Trump wins the election, it's the end of America, right?
Well, he's actually taken it a step beyond that. You'll notice in the picture here, he's wearing his Occupy Mars t-shirt, which of course is related to his SpaceX company. And,
sure.
And one of his goals there is to have multiplanetary society. And it's basically, you know, the same idea as having more children, you know, an heir and a spare sort of deal. So if there's this planetary scale disaster that wipes out humanity on a planet, there's more planets that we inhabit that we can retake or what have you, and we can keep the civilization we have, or the very least the species, I'm not sure if that's the right word, but the human existence alive.
Right.
And so he has gone so far as to say that a vote for Kamala is a vote sort of like against humanity, like the existence of humans. And it's because, again, he starts with something that seems like on its face, like it could be sort of true, and it ties to the next, and by the end of the string, he's claiming that a vote for Kamala is going to vote to wipe out human existence.
Right. Yeah. And you know, you brought up something funny is like, okay, you know, the spare kid. And maybe that's why he keeps trying to have, I mean, doesn't he have 12 kids or something like that? And they all hate him. I mean, it's some high number of kids. I don't know if they all hate him. I'm guessing.
It's a lot of children. And the ones that are adults have at least mainly come out publicly saying that he's not a good father and not involved in their lives.
Mm.
Some of them more, you know, full-throatedly than the others.
Right.
But does sort of seem like he doesn't spend enough time with his children and they suffer for it.
Well, do they?
Although if they'd spend time with him,
there's an argument to be made. That the less time he spends. So he runs Twitter. He runs Tesla. He runs SpaceX. I don't know. Is he still building tunnels under Vegas? I don't know.
That company still exists as far as I'm aware, but I don't believe that they are doing anything.
Okay, that sounds right. So just going back to the, you know, I guess Elon's, oh, can before, I didn't even want to call him Elon for that. I've messed up. Can we start the episode over? I wanted to call him what Donald Trump called him. Did you hear about this?
I read it. I didn't hear it. So
Elanya.
Elanya.
Elanya. He...
Elania,
come on.
Because it's like Melania, his wife, but it's Elon.
Wow. So yeah, I meant to call him that.
Elania.
But I guess I'll stick with Elon for now, or Melon, as some like to call him without having to say his name. So his most, you know, famous or celebrated tweets the last couple of weeks have been that whole, you know, the destruction of America unless you vote for Kamala Harris. But here on the screen is a tweet from Elon not many months prior where X is going to start suspending people that are deliberately spreading fake news in order to seek engagement. Engagement farming will not be tolerated anymore. So I ask as Elon passes 200 million viewers on X, or followers on X, is this working? Is this policy in place? What's happening here?
Didn't we have, I think in episode 2 or 3 of the podcast, we went into this idea of engagement farming, or, you know, engagement, rage engagement.
We talked about social media echo chambers. That's a good
call. Echo chambers. Exactly.
That's what good podcasters are supposed to do, by the way. We're supposed to call back to previous episodes, so make sure you listen to everything in our catalog. So really great work there.
Yeah, go back and take a listen. I thought that was a fascinating exploration of that. But no, I mean, we were talking about it, you know, I guess a week or two, whenever that was, and saying how, if anything, this sort of thing is worse now. Like the drive to do engagement farming, I guess is what they're calling it, is not only still there, but I would argue stronger now that they're doing profit sharing based on you know, your engagement levels.
Of course it is. Yeah.
How am I to believe you're going to end engagement farming if you're going to pay me for farming engagement?
Right.
Like that doesn't add up in any, you know, logical way. No sane person sees those two things as working together.
Hey, I got Twitter up here, right? Let's not go into that. Oh my goodness. Anonymous, by the way, if you guys aren't following Anonymous, on Twitter, that's some fun stuff. But I was, you know, my For You is usually nothing but Elon tweets, right? And actually, surprisingly right now, that's not the case, but I was almost sure, like if I had just come here and scrolled for a little bit, maybe he's quiet today. You know, I wanted to go over to his profile. Oh, here we go. Here we go. Okay, so here's some Elon stuff. Let's see what this is. I don't even want to read it. But my point was, I wanted to come over to Elon's. I don't even want to read it. We're going to get to this pinned tweet in a second because this is huge. But the obvious bias now in the owner of probably the biggest social media platform, right? I mean, other than Facebook, is now clearly biased. He's going to the rallies of, he's clearly biased on one side, and his tweets, I don't know what else to call them, posts, I guess. I mean, they prove it. By the way, if you don't know, Doge Designer is just this is just Elon's alt. He retweets this guy more than anybody on X. But I mean, Trump must win. It's all it is. It's just his whole profile, 200 million viewers. It's misinformation. It's disinformation. It's Trump must win. All the other voices on it. This is the most prominent voice on the public town square, and it's all Trump must win nonsense.
Yeah.
So I did want to go over his pinned tweet and talk a little bit about this. So he says here, sign our petition to support the Constitution. Also earn $47 for every person you refer to sign the petition if they're in a swing state. So goal is to get 1 million voters in swing states to show support for free speech and the right to bear arms.
Okay. Just without knowing anything else about this.
Go ahead.
What the hell is this? I mean, why do I need to sign a petition for two amendments that currently exist in the Constitution? I don't understand.
Well, so you're right. So it's like, well, why would that even be a thing, right? Like, why pay people?
Right.
Why do whatever? So there's clearly something else going on here, right?
Right.
And what that is the petition is tightly linked to voter registration in swing states. So this can
be... What do you mean tightly linked? What does that mean?
So it means that what his goal is here is to get people in swing states to register to vote. That's what he's trying to do.
Okay. I mean, so far, if that's it, if that's as deep as this rabbit hole goes, don't make that gesture, please. Well, then it's okay, right?
Well,
because we should be trying, and this is, you know, this is a tenet of, I think, the Democrat Party more than the Republicans, but we strive to get everybody to vote. We want you to vote. If you vote against us, we still want you to vote.
Now, whereas would you Republicans say
don't want you to vote? So this is
okay.
A breath of fresh air.
So we have a little issue though. Would you say that paying people to register to vote, or with the underlying insinuation that come here, register for as a Republican, and I'm going to hand you $47.
Does he go so far as to do that? I don't see an insinuation here that says vote Republican and you'll get $50.
That's it though. I mean, it's an indirect influence. It's obviously protect the Constitution. You know, the right to bear arms. You know, it's indirectly incentivizing voter registration through a cash incentive.
I see the intent there. Okay. I see what you're getting at. I don't think it's quite as nefarious at this point. Maybe there's more. But, I mean, I don't see this really as any different from saying, man, I don't want to go to the trope, but it's hard to imagine, you know, a very wealthy Democrat. So I guess I'm going to do it. Soros saying,
oh jeez,
I'll you know, bus you to the polling places or whatever, which we've tried in the past in some states, some precincts and stuff, that's illegal. They consider that you know, vote tampering, or what's the actual, it's maybe vote tampering, I don't really remember, but they won't let you, you know, bring water to people who are standing in the polling line, and they won't let you bring food, they won't let you drop people off unless you're a certified like taxi cab service or a bus or what have you. You can't like rent a bus and have a driver that takes everybody from your nana's nursing home down to the polling place, because that's illegal.
Yeah.
So yeah. Like,
well,
you know, us trying to do, I say us, it's always Democrats who are trying to energize voters, trying to get voters to the polling places, get them to vote.
Yeah.
Regardless of their voting preference. That's where it is. So do I don't really see this as much different from that.
Yeah, you're not wrong. You're not wrong. I think because it is, there is a federal law that prohibits payments for voter registration or voting at all. Like,
I think it's just voting. I think that you can literally pay people to register.
You cannot.
Can you not?
I don't think so. You know what? We can Jamie. I keep forgetting we don't have a freaking Jamie. We don't have anyone to do this for me. As far as I understand, there is a federal law that prohibits both payments for voter registration and voting in federal elections.
Okay. All right. Let us know in the comments which one of us is wrong.
Yeah. While financial incentives for signing petitions is legal. So that's where
and polls and things like that. Right. You know, you get push polls.
You get a $5 gift card to Starbucks or like whatever. I get that all the time. You know, somebody stops me. They're like, "Will you do this? And we'll buy your coffee or whatever." And sure. But you know, the obvious here, I think the obvious thing that's going on here is it's tightly coupled. Like, okay, obviously what this means. And by the way, this is funded by Musk's America pack or whatever the super pack is. I mean, my thoughts on this are, well, first of all, if this for some reason made it all the way to the Supreme Court wouldn't even hear it, or they would say, no, this is totally legal. Well, you say there's nothing, you don't think there's anything nefarious here. I will always...
Hold on.
Okay.
What I'm saying is that on its face, getting people to petition, say the petition is like a pledge to vote or something, like I don't have a problem with that, like at its crux. Now, of course, there's context, there's nuance involved. This is, like you pointed out, this is Elon Musk using his super PAC to try and, you know, accomplish this giant petition of people to try and rally voters. That's literally what it is. And it's not difficult to see how he would like those voters to vote. It's very plain that he wants more Republican voters, particularly in swing states. He even goes so far as to, you know, highlight that requirement. So is it particularly nefarious? Not really, but also it's very, very see-through. You can see exactly what he's playing at here. And it's not surprising, I don't think, to anybody who's been following the way in which Elon Musk operates for the past few years. This is his MO of, I'm just going to do something, whether it's illegal or not, you know, and try to move forward my goals, and we'll deal with the repercussions or not later. It's a very Trumpian thing to do, to be frank. That's how Trump ran his presidency, and he's been running his campaigns. So I understand why they see a lot of each other in each other. And they can definitely bolster this campaign with this, you know, more of the same, but from a different guy who has a lot of money.
I mean, okay. You're not wrong. By the way, anything that Elon Musk says or does, I think is nefarious. You have to prove it's guilty until proven innocent, in my opinion. So he's earned that.
No, I agree that, you know, like I said, the underpinnings for this push of his is transparent. You can see right through it. You know that he's just trying to win Republican votes in swing states. And, you know, that's
so
pretty bad, honestly.
So another thing that happened kind of in relation to this is that, as you can see here, ex-owner Elon Musk seized the America username on the platform using the account to advocate for former President Trump, against Vice President Harris in the 2024 election. I mean,
it's his site, so he can do whatever he wants, but man, that is just so, you know, snidely whiplash-esque. It's just, you're clearly a villain in some cartoon out of the 1940s.
I mean, right, this is some Lex Luthor stuff, though, right? I mean...
Well, like dumb Lex Luthor, but sure.
Dumb Lex Luthor, okay. I mean, well, that's...
So let's talk about it in terms of Twitter, because I do think that it's important. If you don't use Twitter, this is the @America handle. When Twitter was at the height of its user base and it had people all over the world signing up for it, and, you know, millions and millions of users, the @handle was the uniqueness constraint. Those were the things that were coveted before the blue check marks. It was like, oh, you have this short, direct handle that no one else can lay claim to. That's who you are as a person. And in fact, the history there is funny because somebody registered a Donald Trump one before he signed up, which is why he had to sign up as the real Donald Trump. So, I mean, there's history and context there that's very interesting. But America, clearly a very unique, you know, it has importance to it under the name. And so having that handle, possibly worth money. I mean, I don't know.
I guarantee
you could probably sell the account to someone.
Yeah.
For an amount, you know,
which violates, by the way, violates X's, you know, policies that you can't sell accounts.
Of course, obviously.
But
people do.
Yeah. Oh, sure they do. But I mean, answer me this, okay? You say it's Elon's platform, right? It's and you're not wrong, right? This is Elon's business. If he wants to do that, fine, let him do that. Sure. He takes over the POTUS account and just
starts ghost tweeting stuff.
Yeah, I mean,
fun. Yeah, no, I
that
I
can't be legal.
I don't know. There's certainly an argument to be made for impersonating an official officer.
Sure.
Which, I mean, you could probably make that claim in court, but I also don't think that I don't think that Elon's stupid enough to attempt that.
Oh, I'm glad you just put that into the universe so that I can clip this with the
yet another finger. Yeah.
Yeah. And I can clip this with the Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Yeah, there you go.
So you know what? I hope it happens. I hope that's the case. Where he is stupid enough to do something like that. But you know, we talked about Tina Peters last episode.
Yeah.
And her getting 9 years, right, for election interference, basically. I mean,
She was changing votes, though.
Yeah, some serious things. But at what point do you look at what Elon is doing, you look at the disinformation that he's spreading, and say that this is illegal election interference? Like, at what point do you stop and say enough is enough with this? And I need to preface that by saying every single right-wing person, if they ever got this far or heard this clip, will say, oh my God, here it is again. The libs are trying to steal our freedom of speech. So where do we draw the line?
Right. So, I mean, like, the thing about Twitter that's interesting to me is that it's run by, I mean, the content that's generated there is generally generated by users, not like one big figurehead or anything like that. But in the same sense, they're the readers of the site, but they're also producing the content. But Elon and a few, you know, huge names with tons of followers do get to set temperatures. They get to say things into this, you know, I don't want to call it an echo chamber, into this social media site. And it does, though. The things that he says reaches a lot of eyes and ears, and they, whether they internalize it or not, they're hearing his position on things. And so I think back to, you know, Rupert Murdoch's Fox News and the same thing, where he owns this news network and he basically sets the tone for what news goes out. And all of his listeners, watchers, etc., you know, consume what he says or what his station produces, I should say. And that moves the needle. So yeah, free speech, but also like, we just need to get off of these, you know, sources of information that have this much power.
So
that's the biggest problem, is we don't have enough.
Well, it almost sounds like you're talking about like an antitrust lawsuit. Like he's monopolizing the way that information is getting to people. And in this particular case of both the election and the thing I'm about to share, has serious and dire consequences. And I'm going to share a story that has been hitting the news a lot lately. And as everybody probably knows by now, especially if you listen to us, is the misinformation, or I keep saying the difference between disinformation and misinformation, as I understand it, is that disinformation is purposely spreading information that is not true. So I need to keep calling this what it is. And this is disinformation from Elon Musk and other people on the right on X, it's starting to cost people their livelihood. Okay.
Sure.
So, yeah. I mean, where do you, Bradley Boone, the assistant fire chief of Pensacola, took to Facebook and he said, I don't have time anymore to fight all of these rumors. And it's ridiculous. They're saying we're blocking supplies to people. They're saying FEMA's not here. They're saying, if you see a FEMA official, question them. And, you know, it's like these people are being threatened now who are trying to save lives. At what point? This is a major problem.
I agree. You know, and unfortunately, the remedies for this are slow. So I'm remembering Alex Jones and his podcast, rated, whatever you want to call it, his show that he would run.
Yeah.
I can't even remember.
I know the name of it. We don't even have to say.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
But you know, he was running for years on disinformation campaigns because his base of listeners ate it up. I mean, that was their favorite food.
Yeah.
And so, well, I'm not going to stop doing that if it's going to earn me, you know, dollars and dollars and dollars and notoriety and all of the things that they care about. While the mechanisms that remedy that was a lawsuit in which he owes, you know, $1.5 billion or whatever it is to the families who he spread this disinformation about and ultimately harmed in the same way. And so FEMA, this guy, the there are court remedies that are available for these things, but they're not going to get fixed today. They're not going to get fixed next year. No. They're going to be in court litigating this for years to come at a real cost to them. No one's going to do this work pro bono by and large, unless it's a slam dunk and they know that they can get their cut. But this is a hard, you know, thing to fight. Like he's saying, he doesn't have the energy, and frankly, neither do we. We want to help him.
Right.
I have a hard enough time arguing with my in-laws about what is real and what is not. You know, how am I supposed to change the minds? How are any of us supposed to change the minds of Elon Musk's, you know, 200 million followers?
Right. I mean,
I think that's what you're getting at. He's at the town square, like you said, but he's the only one with a PA system.
He's got there are several other accounts on Twitter, and this is where we're rolling very nicely. This is unscripted. We're rolling very nicely into all of the things that I wanted to cover today. He is the only guy with that size of a following that not only has a megaphone, but he also controls behind the scenes whether or not you can hear him and hear the dissenting voices as well. So
he's like, everybody gets a megaphone, and then in subtext, he gets to determine what their max volume is.
Yeah, exactly.
So,
that.
So his is always at max, and the people he agrees with, they get a volume boost, but not as big as his. And then the dissenters, the people, you know, the deplorables, I forget. You know, they get their megaphone either turned down or the batteries are dead or something.
Right. And so this brings me into my next topic on this, which is him turning down that megaphone. And I want to preface this by saying we don't make any money from doing this podcast. This is something that we, I don't want to say enjoy doing, because a lot of the times the topics are not very enjoyable. But, you know, Mike and I have been talking politics together for like the last decade.
At least.
And we finally were like, we're two white guys. The only right path forward is to start a podcast, right? So we're doing that because we're having fun. So I just want to point that out by saying we don't have any ads right now. We're not monetizing this in any way. We have no goals of this being the thing that we do instead of our regular jobs.
Right. You haven't seen sponsorships. Anything like
that. So that's not our goal here. And I want to make sure I preface what's the follow here.
We're both very passionate about politics in the United States in particular, but also worldwide. And we think that we have a voice that a lot of people who might be either apolitical or, you know, lean left would want to hear. A lot of ideas, a lot of just like we do a lot of exercises, you know, where we're thinking about the current landscape and the potential future landscape.
Yeah.
I think that it's just an interesting thing that we're both passionate about.
So I wanted to make sure I got that out of the way before I get into this next piece. Over the weekend, something happened on Twitter that I was not aware was actually happening. So if you remember back when Jack Dorsey was running Twitter, there was this whole idea of shadow banning. In fact, there were even dedicated sites where you could go and you could put your handle in and you could see like, oh, wait a minute. My account is not being, unbeknownst to me, right? Account is not being shared with other people. If they type...
Shadow bans, just because I'm not, again, I'm not on the Twitter thing. So, but this is like, you still can post and interact
you
with
still
people
can, you can
like
do,
normal.
Everything looks the same to you, okay? But if, so let's say I posted something with the hashtag election 2024. Okay.
Okay.
And then you went and you searched the hashtag election 2024. Okay. Yeah. My account would not come up if I was shadow banned. So you would scroll through like, oh, okay, here's all these accounts that are sharing. I'll go look at them. I'll go whatever. I can retweet this.
But
my account wouldn't come up.
If you replied to a post of mine,
you would still get the notification.
Even if I wasn't following you.
Yes. Yes.
But interactions would still work. But
that would still work.
Organic messaging into the Twitterverse.
Yes.
You'd be squelched on.
Yes. So this was, for many people, and understandably so, an issue with the last regime of Twitter, if you will. Okay. I don't know that I'm being shadow banned. I don't know why I'm being shadow banned. Is there something I can do to correct this so that my account does not get this imaginary label? And for the most part, shadow bans generally disappeared over the course of a couple of days or so. And then you're...
So they were like, you triggered something in the system.
Yeah.
Some automatic
spam
thing
or something. But it was it was generally...
And then they put you on like...
Right.
Yeah, like a 3-day...
Yeah, you weren't on some watch list or something like that we know of. But, you know, I'm sure there were other things going on. Elon Musk took... you know, he didn't like that, right? And part of his reason, this is from his words, paraphrasing, of course, of buying Twitter is to bring free speech back to the platform. In other words, to give everybody a voice. And unfortunately, what that means for a lot of us is that suddenly I'm seeing a lot more people with Nazi views in my For You feed, which, let me tell you, is definitely not for me. So
that was the reason I left.
That's the reason why a lot of people are on Blue Sky instead, right? Like, or Threads or wherever else have gone to, even unfortunately back to Facebook. But if Facebook's your thing, that's fine. So
that was the reason I left Facebook before Twitter. There's too many Nazis there too.
So Elon Musk thing is, let's bring free speech back to Twitter. Okay. He does that. All of a sudden we hear all these terrible voices. Okay. Suddenly, okay, this is what happened this weekend. I was getting great engagement. Okay, I love talking. Okay, I love talking with people. I love having political conversations. I love arguing. I love debating. I love just having these conversations with people.
I've been with Nate at a Starbucks. This all checks out. He'll argue with anybody, anywhere, at any time.
Not argue.
For any reason.
But like,
not argue.
Yeah,
he'll
yeah.
Have a,
but like,
a lively debate.
Right, right. And so this weekend, all of a sudden, I was getting like zero notifications. I went from like the Friday, you know, 80 notifications, and I'm like, oh wow, this is great, you know, interacting with everybody. That's awesome. And yes, it is good for the podcast too, right? It's good for the blog. It's good for the podcast. You know, like, get ears on it. Get
full
people
disclosure:
to our page.
The more people that know about us, the more people will listen to us.
Right.
So that's good for us.
Exactly. And so come Saturday, that had completely disappeared. And I was like, okay, I did have like a viral tweet or something, and that was fine. So for a moment, I'm thinking this is just, you know, organic, the organic just ebb and flow. And so then I was doing a little research into it, and I found this probable spam, idea. And this is basically that there is now a new thing on Twitter where you can get flagged as an account who is releasing probable spam for whatever reason. And so I said, that's interesting. Like, let me look into this. So I switched to my personal account and I went to a thread that I was having a conversation in, and I clicked on that thread, and I knew I didn't have to dig very far. It wasn't like 5,000 replies. There was like 10 replies on it, and I couldn't see the Blue Sedition Twitter handle in anywhere in it until I scroll down to the bottom and I clicked there's a link that says show probable spam. And sure enough, my reply, which was not spam at all, it was adding, I believe, to the discourse, there it was. Then I went on and I checked.
Just typed it, right? I mean, this isn't, we don't have any bots or anything running for it. This is you on your phone.
No, I don't use. Yeah. Yeah. No, this is me. Loose
edition account.
Yeah.
Just writing a response to somebody.
And it's not like I'm sharing like links to the blog. No, I'm literally talking to people. You know what I mean? It's not like I'm like aggressively doing like marketing or anything. I'm like having conversations. Right. And now, and then I checked another thread and another thread and another thread. And suddenly all of our accounts or all of our replies are behind this probable spam thing. And so I'm still getting likes. And then I realized all of the likes, like, yeah, I got 4 likes on this, but only 10 views. Where before I was getting like, 1,000 views, but maybe 8 likes, right?
Yeah.
It turns out that the only people that were seeing us automatically were the people who were following the account. So people who don't follow the account don't really have a chance to discover your account unless they click that probable spam button. And this happened because, well, what I believe is I have been a very loud dissenting voice against Elon Musk. Anytime Elon Musk posts something that I think is ridiculous, I call him out on his absolute nonsense.
Okay? Yeah, yeah.
And then suddenly this starts happening. So users, you know, I brought it up. Users started sharing links. Hey, this is what's happening. It's happening to me too. And now all of a sudden I'm seeing all of these left-leaning voices are being hidden behind probable spam. And so, and for us, it happened October surprise. It happened like right in the beginning of October. And so it makes you wonder, you know, is this thing being done on purpose by Elon Musk to make sure his microphone is reaching, you know, reaching everybody and the dissenting voices are not? So I can't go there and say, this is bullshit. This story about FEMA is wrong. You can't see that unless you scroll all the way down and hit probable spam. But I want to make one more point. I know I'm running out of wind here, is that I, as I mentioned, and as you can see from us sharing the Twitter back and forth, have a blue check mark next to my name. And by the way, I've made fun of the blue check marks in the past. I think you're an idiot if you pay for Twitter. I'm sorry if you're a follower of the show. I think you're an idiot. I think I'm an idiot. Don't pay for Twitter. It's stupid. But one of the reasons for paying for Twitter is like their second bullet point in why I pay for Twitter is that you get boosted reply engagement. But now my tweets, my replies, it's going blue checks that pay, people that don't pay, me under probable spam, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm paying $8 for Twitter, as are some of our left-leaning friends that have chimed in. They're paying for Twitter, and their accounts are getting hidden.
Is there any recourse to that? I mean, is there...
What can you do?
Well, that's what I'm asking.
I mean, contact the Better Business Bureau. I mean,
you know, what kind of rules? Do they have like a report a problem feature that you can try and engage with? Or
possibly. And it's another thing for me. Some people have been saying this has been happening to them for a while for our account, which again, I don't give a shit. I'd rather build up a presence on Blue Sky and eventually just drop Twitter altogether. I'm on Twitter mostly because I love arguing with these idiots, but I also need to see what these idiots are talking about. We talked about echo chambers and Blue Sky. As much as I love it, I don't see, you know, a lot of what Elon's talking about, a lot of, you know, of that. And I just need to see it because that's part of what I'm, you know, I need to listen. You know,
I think that Aaron Rippar made the same sort of statement where he's posting on everything. He prefers Blue Sky, but he's like, look, in all honesty, I cover Trump and the right wing and the crazies, and I have to be on Twitter because that's where they engage. That's where I see these things firsthand, and then I can post them everywhere, but I have to be on Twitter. I can't just walk away from that at the moment, which makes sense.
Right.
But unfortunately, it sounds like you're, you know, in one of these sort of trapped situations where you can't even get the things you post to the people who want to see it or might want to see it. That's one of the other problems, is that you said that your followers, the Blue Sedition podcast followers on Twitter, can see what you write, but basically no one else can. So how do you even grow a brand that way?
Right.
If you're behind this probable spam blocking thing.
Yeah, it like you have to find other creative ways to try and grow your account, but that's not what this town square is supposed
right,
to be.
Right, right.
You know,
yeah, it's not even how it really works. So you may not have the answer to this. I'm just thinking of these things off the top of my head. But like, if you have a follower, or maybe, well, let's just start with the follower, and they retweet one of your posts, is it possible that that even shows up to people who aren't followers of yours?
That's a really good question.
Will their followers see it?
That's a really good question. And further, does it mean that they're at the risk of being...
Right. Are they going to, you know, is it some contagion that they need to be worried about on this Twitter site? It's an interesting issue. I wish it was happening to somebody else. There's somebody bigger, I think, is the main thing, is that, you know, we're a relatively small and new voice. And so squelching us this early means that our ability to grow is, you know, night and day harder than everything else.
Yeah.
But if you were to do this to, I don't know, who's a prominent left poster, maybe Aaron Rappar as an example.
Right.
You know, then, well, not only would he write about it, but eventually some news network would pick up on it. And then it would be a big story about how Elon's, you know, doing this purposefully, it seems. We don't obviously have all the evidence to do. Well, I don't know.
Yeah, would it be fake news? Would it be that's not how we do it? Would it be who cares? What are you going to do about it? You know, that seems to be the kind of cycle that we're in right now. It's like it's either fake news or who cares anymore? What are you going to do about it?
Yeah, well, you know? I mean, that's, in my opinion, that's part of the reason why I think Twitter is failing. It's a slow burn, but I do think that with this same stewardship and no change in direction, I think that Twitter's headed for just, you know, being a new 4chan. And so
I'm truly excited for the end of Twitter. There was some kind of funny talk about Mark Cuban buying Twitter, which
I heard of that.
Yeah. And you know, I'll tell you what I don't want. Well, secretly I do want, but what I don't want is for Mark Cuban to buy Twitter and then just push it back in the other direction. But what I do want is Nazis to not spread that bullshit. I mean, there's a line, there's that whole free speech line that we have to talk about. But first of all, the guy who's claiming he bought it for the free speech thing is just lying about that. That's just bullshit.
Like, yeah.
So,
I mean, it was a farce. Just, it was a public image thing that he wanted to have this pretense that he was doing some public good.
Right.
And because he's a billionaire, every news network ran with that story as a given instead of digging into it even a little bit.
Right.
So they're like, Elon Musk is out there trying to protect free speech. And that's sort of been his labeling as such since. And it's just, it's the worst veneer ever. It's see-through. Everyone can see through it, but now nobody cares. So
I'm with you though. I'm rooting for the end of Twitter unless somehow it gets picked up by somebody else and becomes kind of that. Because, I mean, it was for a while, there was a sweet spot there where, you know, I was following the things that I enjoy, baseball and technology and politics and stuff.
Yeah.
And it wasn't the constant, you know, disinformation pipeline that it is today.
Right. And I think with the older systems, with the shadow bans and whatnot, I think that was more of a, well, I'd like to think that was more of a punitive measure for people who were trying to do things deliberately. You know, we mentioned it earlier in the episode, the difference between disinformation and misinformation. I think that a lot of people I'm going to use this just as a trope, because it's my family and how they act. But I think a lot of people on Facebook tend to post a lot of misinformation because they are misinformed, not because that they are, you know, an evil presence or somebody who's looking to sow, you know, disinformation. Whereas on Twitter, it's become clear that I don't think any of the actors involved here are doing this naively. They are actively spreading information that is incorrect in the hopes of confusing the matter that they're talking about, usually elections or science or climate science or, you know, vaccines and just like all these things. And the goal is what it has always been. If you sow enough of this disinformation into the zeitgeist, then people are unsure. You have people who otherwise are well-meaning asking questions like, well, can we trust that vaccines are good? Or can we trust that the government is acting in our best interest? Can we trust that yada, yada, yada? And then that in and of itself is them winning the battle, because they've made you question things that you know to be true or false beforehand.
Yeah, exactly, man.
So it's a, I mean, it's a dire situation.
It is. I mean, like you said, it's going to take years. And, you know, the problem with taking years to fix it is while we're trying to fix it, he can remain that loud dissenting voice that might sway the public opinion on not fixing it, you know?
Especially if, you know, in my view, and I'm hoping for this, normal people get off Twitter. I don't want my parents, I don't want any of my relatives being on Twitter, because it's just this misinformation, disinformation cesspool. But if you can get the normals away from it, well, okay, maybe his reach isn't that grand anymore and he won't be able to cause that chaos and confusion. Well, hold the phone, because your main sources of media, you know, your New York Times and everything, are reporting on things that happen on Twitter as if it's news. And so he could claim all sorts of crazy stuff in his Twitterverse with his Nazi friends and all that other stuff. And if it doesn't get out, well, that's not the worst thing in the world. Again, it's just 4chan. Nobody cares. But if you have the New York Times writing, you know, leads along the lines of Elon Musk is skeptical about vaccines. I'm not saying that's what he said, but, you know, something to like that. Well, now you've given credence to it. And that's worse. Stop spreading it like that.
Yeah.
It's just so disheartening.
I know.
To see people who, again, who are otherwise well-meaning and good-natured Americans falling victim to this sort of grift.
And I mean, that I think that's a lot of what's going on with the FEMA thing, with everything else, especially the election as well, is that these normal people, I mean, the stuff that came out about Truth Social, by the way, over the weekend is just amazing. The numbers that are being compiled of how much money Truth Social users are losing to scams. Yeah. I mean, it just goes, these people are vulnerable. They are easily fooled. They are, and that's what's happening, and it's hurting them, it's hurting themselves, and it's hurting others.
And they're curated to that. They're like, I don't want to repurpose the word, but we'll say they're groomed to that. That's their whole point, is that they've got not a lot of money, I would assume, but they're losing it in droves.
Right.
Because they're all seemingly naive or gullible or something like that.
Yeah. So I don't know where this goes from here. I wish we had answers for this. But you know, it's really hard to tell. And it certainly, if you push too hard, you'll get those right. You won't get the right wingers on your side for this, because it'll be, oh my God, my free speech, no matter what you do. So I really don't know what the answer is, but I fear that not only is the answer not going to come in a meaningful amount of time to stop more damage. I don't know that it ever. I don't know that we're going to get.
No, I mean, there was that. You know, I think that as a society, we accepted a lot of things for a very long time. Like we would say, you know, if you're a scientist, you probably are smarter than me. Like if you're a real scientist in the thick of it studying something, I assume you're more intelligent than me. Or at the very least, you're more informed about that particular topic than I am. Like that's, right. we just, I think collectively Americans understood that.
Right.
And then at some point, and I think it was around the time that we started actually having discourse about global warming, that your average Joe stopped believing that. They're like, this guy doesn't know more than me. And I'm like, he's a scientist who studied this his entire life. You're some guy right? How do you have the hubris to say that you know more about this topic than him because you Googled it for 5 minutes? And that once that was gone, we've lost it all. And then it's like you're saying, now we're like, well, we don't trust FEMA. And you're like, but why? Why wouldn't you trust this organization that has been at hurricane recovery and assistance programs for decades and decades and decades? And they've been doing it as like their one driving thing that they do. And you don't believe it anymore. How did that happen? How does so many Americans get to that point? The hell with fixing it. I want to know how your brain took you to this point where you think that you know more than any professional on a given matter.
To be fair, it's not that they always say, this is the problem with Elon Musk and other very large personalities, is okay. that they convince these people that the people in charge don't know more. It's not necessarily that right. Joe sitting at home thinks he knows more, but then he goes and watches Andrew Tate and he's like, oh, well, obviously this guy who's got a bunch of cars and women and who's railing against, you know, COVID vaccines. Well, clearly he knows more than I do. And he's very convincingly explaining to me why, based on a series of logical fallacies, this scientist doesn't know what he's talking about.
Right,
who am
right.
I going to believe? You know,
what was the name of that one woman who was, she was a celebrity and she rallied against vaccines for so long, claiming that they caused
Jenny McCarthy.
Children. McCarthy. Thank
yeah,
you.
Yeah.
It's the same thing. I'm like, yeah. You're an actress and you've got not a brain cell in your head as far as I can tell, but people are believing you over scientists who spent their entire lives developing and iterating these vaccines to keep people healthy.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I just go, there's like, I feel like I'm taking crazy pills. Well, how do you get to that?
I
mean,
it is. Listen, I remember when I was, I don't want to go off the rails on conspiracy theories, but I remember when I was younger.
Dangerously close to that.
We are. And I'm going to bring up a conspiracy theory, but it speaks to, I think I'm a smart guy. I think I can understand when somebody knows something more than me and I just have to shut up and listen. Okay. Right. When I was growing up, I was in my early 20s, I think, when a funny thing happened on the way to the moon came out. Do you remember that, like, global thing? I don't know if it was YouTube or if it was a documentary, but it was a thing called a funny thing happened on the way to the moon. And it was a conspiracy theory documentary about how we didn't go to the moon. And it was so convincingly put together that there was a couple of years where I'm like, well, there's no freaking way we went to the moon, right? But it was a documentary that was not only using a number of logical fallacies, yeah. but it was framed in such a way that a regular thinking person would go, oh, wow, yeah, like that actually makes a lot of sense. And that's what these people are doing.
Yeah, that's the answer as to the how. I guess
yeah.
we do know that because it's the same thing that we started out with at the beginning of this episode where I'm saying, like Elon Musk, he starts with this thing that on its face is believable. It
right.
sounds right. reasonable
right.
to see from point, you know, point one to point two, and then right. maybe from point two to point three. And then at the end of it, you're claiming that, you know, vaccines cause hurricanes or something.
Yeah. I mean, it's
or that we didn't go to the moon or that, you know, all these other rabbit hole conspiracy theories. But yeah, you're right. I mean, it's like you're trying to make an argument in good faith at the start. And then you're just asking them to take, well, okay, one more step with me. I know it might sound crazy, but just one more step. And you do that enough and you get these crazy conspiracies and the people who believe them.
Yeah. And then you get, you based on that, you have the, you have more logical fallacies. I can't think of the name, but there's the logical fallacy. This is the hardest one for me. It's when it happens to all of us whenever we're talking with someone that we disagree with, where they just throw so much at you
yeah.
that you cannot, and they sprinkle in facts in there, but you right. cannot hit all of them, right? And to anybody else who's paying attention to it, who's yeah. on their side, it looks realistic. It makes sense. It follows.
Right. It's why people listen to...
You're gonna say not, Alex Jones again?
I wasn't gonna say Alex Jones. Okay. I was gonna say like Jordan P. Peterson or
right. same thing.
Ben Shapiro. Those guys.
Ben Shapiro is a great one.
They are notorious for, I'm going to throw 400 facts into the next 12 seconds of speaking.
Right.
Facts. Right. And one or two of them at the outset will definitely be true that everyone can agree with. And then I'm just going to kind of blur the lines for the rest of this.
Yeah.
And at the other end of the tunnel, I'm going to make you feel like you're stupid for not seeing it my way. Even though, like you said, half the stuff that they said didn't make any sense, isn't related, or is a logical fallacy or something else.
Yeah, exactly.
But I will say they convince a lot of people that they are the intellectuals in the room on a given subject.
Oh, people think, you know, Ben Shapiro is the you know, philosopher of our time, but Jordan Peterson is the I'm certainly not out here claiming I am. I mean, I would get crushed in a debate against Ben Shapiro because I am not built in the way to use logical fallacies as good as he uses them. Yeah. I would look like I'm getting destroyed, you know?
I would crush Ben Shapiro in a debate, but it's because I would lose my temper and then I'd just...
You'd literally crush him? Okay, all right. Well, we don't condone violence on the Blue Sedition podcast.
I'm a pacifist, but those are the feelings that rage within me.
Yeah, I mean, it's just so hard. Those people are so good at using fallacies to their advantage. It's almost impossible to counter them. It's just so difficult.
Well, yeah, and you know, to go back to talking about Twitter and Elon, it's even more so when you can't get your voice out there.
Right.
So if I was in a debate with Ben Shapiro and my microphone didn't work, well, I'm not going to convince anyone in the room, regardless of whether I'm making good sense or not. It's the same thing, like you're saying, on these social networks. If you're not allowed to speak, well, then you're never going to get your voice out there. No one's ever going to hear your point of view.
Exactly. Well, listen, I think this is a logical stopping point before we keep going on about conspiracy theories. I think 9/11 was like literally next on the list. If we spent another 3 minutes on this podcast, I think we're going to be going to...
It was on the tip of my tongue, but I abstained.
All right. Well, that's good. Okay. I think that's a good point to... What should we call it? I was thinking, you know what? Never mind. I'm going to leave the title for today's episode to some little afterthought. I'll think about it after. Thanks everyone for tuning in to the first video episode. Hopefully we didn't spend too much time saying, look at the screen for all of you that listen to us on Apple and Spotify. We'll work on that. We'll make sure we understand the balance going forward. But thanks everybody for listening and we'll catch you next time.
And for your YouTube guys, give us a like, subscribe, and leave us a comment.
Wherever, I don't know where it goes, but I think the bell is over here.
I don't know where I am in the layout, so I'm going to point here.
Yeah, I can see. Well, that's pretty good. I'm going to point here. I think that's safe. All right. Bye, everyone.
Thanks, everyone.
Stay informed, stay engaged, and remember, dissent is patriotic.
Until next time, this is the Blue Sedition Podcast, signing off.